Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Rock Pod. Hey, Rock Pod Nation. Welcome back to the Rock Pod, the only show where guitars wail louder than your ex's last voicemail. I'm your host, Jimmy. Here to dive into the pumpkin patch. And no, we're not baking pies today, folks. We're talking about the Smashing Pumpkins, one of the most iconic, dramatic, layered, and occasionally dysfunctional bands of the 90s alt rock scene. From dreamy shoegaze whispers to stadium shattering fuzz bombs, the Pumpkins gave us Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness, a double album that somehow became every moody teen's Bible and every record exec's cash cow. Welcome to the Rock Pod. All right, we're in Chicago. It's the late 80s. Hair metal is gasping for relevance, and grunge is still figuring out if it likes flannel. Enter one Billy Corgan, a gangly, pale, gothic baseball card collector with a guitar tone thick enough to spread on toast. Billy meets guitarist James Iha at a record store. They jam. They vibe. Then enter D'Arcy Retzky, a classically trained bassist who once wrestled a woman over a concert ticket. No, not kidding. That's the kind of punk energy we like. They start playing local shows with a drum machine, but soon realize machines don't do stick tricks. Enter Jimmy Chamberlin, a jazz-trained, hard-hitting drummer with the subtlety of a thunderclap. Corgan initially didn't want a real drummer, but once he heard Chamberlin play, that was it. It was like handing a Ferrari to a kid who just learned to drive, and now they had horsepower. Their debut single, I Am One, dropped in 1990, and their self-released EPs started gaining traction. Labels came sniffing, and by 1991, Gish landed. It was a wild stew of psychedelic rock, metal, goth, and shoegaze. Critics were confused. Fans were obsessed. It announced to the world, Smashing Pumpkins are here.
Rock Pod.
Enter 1993. The sophomore slump. Not for these freaking Pumpkins. 93's Siamese Dream was pure sonic fireworks. From Cherub Rock to Today to the mega emotional Disarm. This album solidified the Pumpkins as more than a weird alt-rock band. But behind the curtain, well, Billy was writing nearly all of the parts himself. He had an iron grip on the creative process, which made the album incredible, but turned the studio into a pressure cooker. Corgan later admitted he was suicidal during the recording. Meanwhile, Jimmy Chamberlin was battling a heroin addiction. Tension? Yeah, you betcha. Butch Vig, yeah, the guy who produced Nevermind, helmed Siamese Dream, and his pristine layering helped sculpt their signature sound. Fuzzy guitars, like walls of velvet static. The album took off. MTV, Lollapalooza. The Pumpkins went from Chicago clubs to arenas. But the cracks? Yeah, they were just getting started.
Rock Pod.
Okay, folks, buckle in, because this is where things go full rock opera. In 1995, the Pumpkins dropped Melancholy, and The Infinite Sadness, a sprawling double-disc epic that was part glam, part grunge, part Shakespearean tragedy. It had everything: soft piano interludes, crushing metal riffs, and enough eyeliner to make The Cure blush. Top tracks, Zero, peak angsty fashion and fuzz pedals. 1979, an anthem for youth who smoked behind the 7-Eleven. Tonight, Tonight, with that amazing silent film-inspired video. And, of course, Bullet with Butterfly Wings. You know, despite all my rage, you know the one.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain.
They recorded 57 tracks. That's right, 5-7. Billy wrote most of them. Again, tensions grew. Chamberlain was still deep in addiction. D'Arcy and James were reportedly sidelined from the process. The Pumpkins were making timeless music, while personally unraveling. Melancholy was nominated for 7 Grammys. It sold over 10 million copies. It was the Pumpkins at their absolute peak, and also the beginning of their unraveling. Now here's where the tour bus hits the guardrail, literally and figuratively. During the Melancholy tour, tragedy struck. Chamberlain and touring keyboardist Jonathan Melvin overdosed on heroin. Melvin died. Chamberlain was fired. It broke the band. But they pressed on, kind of. They released Adore in 1998, a gothic electronic-tinged album that ditched guitars in favor of drum machines and piano ballads. Critics gave it a polite nod. Fans were split. Then came Machina, The Machines of God, in 2000. A return to rock, but lacking the magic. The band's chemistry was frayed. D'Arcy left during recording. Melissa Alf Dumas of Hole joined for touring. But by late 2000, Corgan announced, "We're done." Cue the violin and maybe the fog machine.
Rock.
But like any great rock tale, the Pumpkins didn't stay dead. Corgan brought the band back in 2007 with Chamberlain and new members, including Jeff Schroeder on guitar. The album Zeitgeist dropped, filled with political angst and chunky guitars. But again, not quite the old magic. There were lawsuits, online diary rants, and endless lineup changes. Corgan became known almost as much for his eccentric personality as his music. Also, fun side quest, Corgan owned a wrestling promotion company. Yeah, wrestling. That's right.
Rock.
Still, the releases kept coming. Oceania in 2012. Monuments to an Elegy, 2014. Shiny and Oh So Bright in 2018. And in 2018, Billy, James Iha, and Chamberlain reunited. No D'Arcy, though. Still estranged. The new lineup toured with arena-sized ambition. The fire wasn't out. It just smoldered for a while. And now here's where things get really ambitious. Again. In 2023, the band dropped Atom, a rock opera in 3 acts. Yes. A 3-act, 33-song album. It's a spiritual successor to Melancholy and Machina. Because, of course, it is. That's just peak Billy. And the Smashing Pumpkins remain one of the most polarizing yet fascinating rock bands of the last 30 years. Were they grunge? No, not quite. Alt-rock? Yeah, but with glam tendencies. Prog? Sometimes. Emo? Accidentally. They were loud, poetic, dramatic, and always unapologetically weird. Billy summed it up at best. "I'm a dreamer, and I'm stubborn. And if that means making 5-hour rock operas about dystopian futures, then that's what I'll do." So there you have it. The smashing, crashing, crashing again story of the Smashing Pumpkins. From sweaty clubs to Grammy stages. From tragic overdoses to 33 song odysseys. They've done it all, and then some. And through it all, Billy Corgan remains, well, Billy freaking Corgan. Thanks for tuning into the Rock Pod. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button, Like a Guitar in 1993. And until next time, this is Jimmy, reminding you, despite all your rage, you can still be a fan in a cage. See what I did there? Okay. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow The Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, and be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for The Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip. Additional music in this episode, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, The Good in Goodbye, I Am One, and Cherub Rock by Smashing Pumpkins. Rock.